Mark 8 and Ephesians 2. Okay, Mark 8, the last few verses of the chapter, picking up about verse 31. And then Ephesians 2, first five verses. Okay, Mark 8, 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Okay, now that right there, when you get to heaven, ask Peter what he was thinking. And he probably said, that's the problem, I wasn't thinking. Rebuking the Lord Jesus. Okay, Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. Because that's who gave him the thoughts. For thou savorest not to things that be of God, but to things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Okay, verse 38, don't get confused about salvation. It's just talking about being ashamed of somebody. So verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, Jesus Christ, and my words, when he comes back, he's going to be ashamed of that behavior or whatever. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 verse 1 and following. Okay, this is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, and he said this, and you hath he quickened. Okay, that means to be made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand this idea, this thought. I pray that you'd help us to recognize that the world system is putting pressure on all of us to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus and his words. And help us not to be ashamed of you and your words. Help us to recognize the pressure that is put upon the child of God, the believer, and help us to resist and to stand true to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Was the Lord speaking? Man, the Lord was speaking through that. Okay, let's see. In the Ephesians passage, okay, this is basically showing the spirit of our age and any age. What is the spirit? Okay, the prince of the power of the air, Satan and his cronies, are putting influence upon the world system. The system of the world, Ephesians 2, verse 2 and 4. And sadly, the majority of people float down this stream following the spirits of the age. Okay, you could just look around and see that. Okay, what the spirits of the world continually do is they incite the lust of the flesh, and they spread lies and deceit. The world system, the system of the world, basically tries to bully you and I, especially young people, but they are bullying you to accept their lies and deception. It's either by bullying you or intimidating you. That's how the world system works. Now, most people are trying to jockey their personal needs of their physical body with the fads and the fashions of the world. You know, I can't afford all that stuff because I got to put some food in my gut. And so maybe I can't spend all the money for the body piercing or all the tattoos, but I'm going to get some of them. Okay, and if you take the average person today and put them in my generation, everybody's going to think they're flat nuts. Okay, but that's the system. Okay, now most people, like I said, are like fish that float downstream. They go with the flow. And what I'm saying about the world system, anything that the news industry puts out, the all media outlets, all government policies, any public indoctrination, that's called education, but it's actually indoctrination. Okay, all media outlets and all areas of public arena, in the public arena, that is pushing the spirits of this age. That's what they're pushing. Okay, that's what they're trying to get you and I to follow no matter what. This is what the masses are doing, and who are you to stand up against the masses? Okay, the world system pressures the believers of Jesus Christ to be ashamed of Jesus Christ and His Word. That's the pressure we're under. If we become ashamed of Jesus Christ and His Word, then we're going to shut our mouths, and then the world can go forward without any guilt or without us interfering with their way of life. Okay, their choice. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he said, "Be not conformed to this world." So, we are to swim upstream against the world system. And everywhere you turn, if you're going to follow the Bible, you're going to have to swim upstream. Okay, you go to the restaurant, their music is promoting the world system. If you go to the grocery store, their music is going to be promoting the world system. You go to the dentist office, you know, and you're sitting there, and they're going to be promoting the world system. Everywhere you go, the public schools, many of the Christian schools are actually promoting the world system. Okay, and so the church now today has been fully ensconced in the world system. And the world itself, the system, tries to pressure the young people. What are they pressuring the young people to do? Fornicate, lose your purity. That's what they're trying to pressure you to do. Okay, the spirit of the world bullies the youth to be drunkards and sorcerers. That's what they're doing. When I say sorcerers, I'm not just including witchcraft, I'm including drugs. That's a sorcery. Drunkenness in the Bible is always connected with nakedness. Drunkenness, nakedness is the primary method of blackmail within a political structure. This is why you see no difference between these clowns at the top. Is because they have gone through political parties, they've gotten drunk, they brought in the young kids, they've got them on camera, and so this is a form of blackmail. It's called in the know. You get that out of Genesis chapter 19, where the Sodomites said they wanted to know the two angels, the men, and this is the basic political structure, and anybody that recognizes that, recognizes that's what's going on in the political world. Psychologists, psychiatrists, the so-called smart people, and the medical industry have openly promoted their desire to drug the entire world populace. That's not hidden. Psychologists, psychiatrists are using medications to alter the minds of youth when a lot of them just need a good whipping. Did I say that? Oh, and so on. And sadly, that's truth. Okay, now young people are known for rebellion, right? They're going to rebel. Why don't they rebel against this system? Okay, why do they rebel against God? Why not rebel against a system who's trying to bully you to live according to their method? Why not stand against them? Why not say, well, you believe in freedom, right? Okay, then will you accept my freedom of trying to remain pure? Or are you going to try to bully me? Okay, rebel against that. Okay, and so that's what they ought to be doing. But, sadly, the youth often rebel against the ones who truly love them instead of to the ones who hate their guts. Just want to get their money out of them, steal from them. As soon as they're poor, don't have anything, dump them. Just like the, you know, roadkill on the side of the road. So I want to give you some thoughts this morning about the world's intimidation to the believer to try to get us to be ashamed of Jesus Christ and His Word. Okay, the first thought is this. The believer has zero justification of being ashamed of Jesus Christ. None whatsoever. Okay, now, if a person looks at religious viewpoints, religious faith, religious positions, or an idea or an ideal, if you look at that objectively, no matter what your upbringing is, okay, if a Muslim was honest, yes, I do believe there are some honest Muslims. Yeah, I do believe that. An honest Muslim who would study Muhammad and look at his behavior and his beliefs should become ashamed. Why? Okay, here's a man that first, 20-some wives, the Quran only says you can have four mother-in-laws. Okay, so not only that, his son married to a wife, and he evidently liked her, so he had a revelation, took his son's wife from him. I don't think he appreciated that. He consummated a marriage with a 9-year-old girl. I think we call that pedophilia. Okay? If a Muslim would just honestly look at his faith of tyranny, I would be ashamed. I'd be ashamed of that. And I would search for something more consistent. If you come across an honest Mormon, okay, yes, and I do believe there are some honest Mormons. And if that honest Mormon would look at Joseph Smith and all the wives he had, look at the prophets of their day, if they would look at the Book of Mormon, if they would look at the doctrines of the Muslim faith or the Mormon faith compared to the Bible, I would be ashamed. I would be ashamed to try to say that Jesus and the devil are brothers. I would be ashamed to admit that I got to have this special holy underwear in order to be righteous with God. I mean, if you really want to have some fun with a Mormon, the two witnesses, ask them about that underwear. They get upset about that. Special Masonic symbols on their special underwear that they got to put their hand on it when they take a shower. I mean, come on. I'd be ashamed to believe something like that. I mean, it's just utter nonsense. If I was a Catholic, if I was raised Catholic, and I objectively looked at my faith, the Catholic faith, okay, and again, when I say looking objectively, I'm not saying read literature that is solidly anti-Catholic. I'm not saying that. Read Catholic material. Somebody who's pro-Catholic, like Malachi Martin, okay, read that guy's stuff. Read about good men, bad men, in the Catholic faith, where a Catholic man was saying that the Catholic seminaries are overrun by progressive priests, meaning they're pushing sodomy, and even they admit that half of the priests are sodomites. Okay? And if I studied that faith, if I looked at that, I would be ashamed of my church. I would be ashamed to believe in something like that. Why? Because of the abuses that take place in that. And what do they do with a priest with pedophilia? They move him from parish to parish from parish. And Jesus Christ said that if a man offends a little child, he should have a millstone put around his neck and let him go swimming. The mafia style. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. I'd be ashamed of that. I'd be ashamed of the history of that church. I'd be ashamed of that. If I was an honest Calvinist, now there's me. I was an honest Calvinist, okay, being raised in a Dutch Reform, okay, accepted the great tulip, you know, the Dutchy thing, and I looked at Calvinism, and I became ashamed of that because I realized that I could not of my free will accept Calvinism. I had to be born a Calvinist against my free will. I like what Sam Gibbs said to this little Catholic kid, where he said, yeah, I was forced to be a Catholic as an infant, got baptized, but I escaped. And that's true. An honest Calvinist should be ashamed of John Calvin and some of the principles that they have promoted. They should be ashamed of that. Okay, if I was on the other side of the coin, an honest Arminian, Okay, that's the two extremes. An Arminian is somebody who believes that a person can be saved by their free will, but they can also give it up by their free will. Okay, where generally speaking, Arminians are usually Methodists, Lutherans, Catholics, that's very loosely in those. The Charismatics, the Pentecostals. Okay, I have sat and listened to their verses, and after analyzing that, I'd be ashamed to believe that. I'd be ashamed of that because what the preachers do is they hold their people in bondage. They basically say that if you don't live according to the holiness of what I think is holy, then you're going to hell. And that's a good way to hold people in bondage. I'd be ashamed the way they handle the scriptures. They take Jewish passages about the tribulation time period and try to apply that to a bunch of Gentiles in this age. I would be ashamed to believe something like that. Why? It's because it's contradictory. As an honest Baptist, after we left the Dutch Reform, we got involved in what's called a non-denominational dispensational teaching church. After we got a Calvinist for the second pastor in our church, so we hightailed out of that and got into this what's called fundamental Baptist, got into that program for a while, and after a while, I became ashamed of that. I saw the limitations that they placed upon their people. If you go to a fundamental Baptist church, you're going to hear about all they know in 6 months. It's going to be rehashing over and over and over and over. Yes, they've won a lot of people to Christ, but yes, they've harmed a lot of people too. And I have been a part of that harm, meaning a victim of that harm. And I have seen other people that got harmed much worse than I did. I'm not going to reject everything they say, but I'm going to take what the good part they say and I'm going to pitch out the bad. Just like eating a chicken, I ain't eating the bones. But some folks encourage eat the bones. High cal, you know, good for our bones. Okay, I would dare say an honest Baptist should be ashamed of fundamentalism and the abuses that is done on people. And the limitations it has held people into, a lot of good people, but they can attend these churches for 20 years and you can sit down and talk to them about the Bible and they know very little. They know the fundamentals. That's it. You step outside of the fundamentals, they don't know anything else. That's a shame. If I was an honest charismatic, I would be ashamed of the prosperity gospel. I would be ashamed of the selfishness of that. I would be ashamed of the greed of these people at the top. Recognizing what they, I would be ashamed that people who have true handicaps go to these healing meetings and they never bring them up front. I'd be ashamed of that. If I was an evolutionist, and evolution is a religion, and after discovering that Charles Darwin's only degree was a degree in religion, I would become ashamed of that faith. And the forcing of that faith on the mind, impressionable minds of children in school without rebuttal. I'd be ashamed of that. If you look at these people, the evolutionary theory, in the 1700s, they said the earth was about 70,000 years old. Today, they say the earth is over 4 billion years old. In that short span, the earth gains 21 million years of age annually. I'd be ashamed of that. I'd be ashamed of the lies that they promote on Lucy and all these so-called finds. I'd be ashamed of that. Remember a couple years back, these whales were beaching themselves and committing whalicide, you know, out there out east. I put comments in a lot of those news articles saying, let them go. They're trying to evolve to become a college professor someday. Why interfere with the process? I mean, if they're consistent, would they not? Yeah, they're not consistent. If I was an honest Democrat, is that possible? Is that an oxymoron? If I was an honest Democrat, I'd be ashamed of Obama. I'd be ashamed of Clinton. I'd be ashamed of Pelosi. I'd be ashamed of all these people. Yes, Clinton, I do believe she will become the next candidate unless she falls out of the good graces of the Illuminati. That's the only way she's not going to be there. The media is, you know, trying to prop this stuff up, but they're not the ones in charge. I would be ashamed, if I was an honest Republican, I would be ashamed of both Bushes and Jeb also. I'd be ashamed of Boehner. This clown probably cut a big deal between he and Pelosi when they sent Netanyahu over here. I would say there is some behind the scenes dirty dog going on there. And the fact is, that's true. This left-right paradigm we have in our country is nothing but a facade, giving people thinking that they have a choice. We don't got a choice. Not at that federal level. And I'm ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of that. And that's why the average American don't do anything with politics, because they know they can't do anything about it. Now, there is absolutely no cause of be ashamed of Jesus Christ. None whatsoever. If I was an animal rights activist, or an evolutionist, or an environmentalist, I'd be ashamed of the hypocrisy that those people promote. I'd be ashamed of that. Because they're not consistent. They want to save the beloved whale. They want to save this owl. What about the parasites in their body? Can they save that endangered species? That's a living organism. Oh, they want to get rid of the parasites in their body. Oh, let it live off the society. Come on. It's hypocrisy. Kill the mosquito? Oh, I know somewhere, we know somebody that won't kill a fly. They try to catch it, let it out into the environment. I mean, there is a lot of fun of little boys we used to do in school. We'd catch a fly, you know, pull out the wings and watch it walking back and forth, you know. I mean the fun with that. I like to torture flies and mice and all those other things. Okay, but these people are inconsistent. But when we deal with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no cause of being ashamed of him. I mean, his friends and his foes revealed no sin and no scandal with Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, Jesus Christ looked at his foes and he said, "Which of you convinces me of sin? Point out anything in my life." And they were silent as a turkey farm on Thanksgiving Day. There's no cause of being ashamed of Jesus Christ. I mean, even demon-possessed people, people possessed with devils, admitted publicly when they came across Jesus Christ, the devils inside said, "We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." That's what the devil said. And Pilate, after going through the kangaroo court and the two false witnesses, Pilate said three times, "I find no fault in this man." None whatsoever. There is no cause of being ashamed of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 10 about Jesus Christ that he went about doing good. For 3.5 years, Jesus Christ went about doing good, meaning he went about doing what religion claims to believe in, that you ought to be good to your fellow man, make the world a better place to live. That's what Jesus Christ did for 3.5 years, and they killed him over it. Hypocrisy, I'd be ashamed of myself. I'd be ashamed of myself later on if I was in that crowd of getting caught up in the hoopla and yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." Some of those people that screamed that day about crucifying Jesus Christ were probably healed by him. Amazing. I'd be ashamed of that. There is no greater hope in life than the gospel of Jesus Christ. None whatsoever. And that's why Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I mean, that right there is some great hope in life in Jesus Christ. The second thought is, no believer has any justification of be ashamed of this book. Jesus Christ said, "Whosoever is ashamed of me and my words," that's that book right there. If you want to limit it to his words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I don't care. If you want to do that, it's fine and dandy. But one of the main reasons why I believe this book is the Word of God is because of the dishonesty of the ones who hate it. The folks that are the proponents of the New International Version will say King James was a homosexual. Okay, they'll say that. There is no proof in history to back up that claim, but they're going to promote that idea. Okay, hey, they're against homosexuality, fine and dandy. But yet, why did they hire a feminist lesbian to be an English consultant of the NIV? Virginia Mellencott. And then they had a homosexual on the Old Testament Survey Committee. Okay, if you're going to say something bad about the King James Bible or King James himself, then why do you do the same thing? That's hypocrisy. I'd be ashamed of that. I'd be ashamed where these people will promote these conservative NIV New American Standard. They are opposed to many of the Catholic doctrines, yet they promote two men called Westcott and Hort who were promoting Mariolatry and many other Catholic doctrines. Bob Jones University produced a film about the Inquisition where Bob Jones Jr. portrayed himself to be an anti-Catholic in this film, which I appreciate, but yet as an institution they promote Westcott and Hort were solidly Catholic in their beliefs. That's hypocrisy. I'd be ashamed of that. I'd be ashamed of the dishonesty of these people. The revivals of the past in the 1700s of this country were the result of men preaching from either the King James Bible or the Geneva Bible. The Geneva Bible was a forerunner to the King James Bible. And America's founding occurred as a result of the revivals of this preaching. The King James Bible has no copyright, and it is still the bestseller without the gimmicks. The King James Bible has no proven errors, even though the scholars say it is riddled with errors. No believer has any justification to be ashamed of this book. None whatsoever. I mean, there's nothing to it. Okay, the third thought is this. Okay, if you believe those two, we can never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can never be ashamed of the Word of God. No suffering saint should be ashamed of the shame of your trial. Whatever the trial is God has placed in your life, you don't need to be ashamed of the shame of the trial. There's shame that comes with trials and troubles that people in general will say, oh, what did you do to get this happen to you? There's no cause to be ashamed of that. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, about his trials. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Paul was in a prison. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. In verse 12 he said, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. Okay, so you're going through something bad in your life? There's no suffering saint should be ashamed of the shame of your trial. None of us should be ashamed of that. Whatever the trial is, it could be divorce. It could be a major disappointment or heartache in your life. Okay? There's a brother in Christ that's been, I guess you can call him a political prisoner for over 8 years. He should be done with his time. He should be out on a free man, Kent Hovind. But the authorities have laid some more stuff on him. And the prosecutor and the assistant prosecutor of the original case, the assistant prosecutor was charged with pedophilia and committed suicide 1 year later. And the prosecutor's husband was on the same list and somehow miraculously didn't get charged. That's the type of people that went against him. Now, I unfortunately, Kent is wrong in some of his beliefs. But he's still a brother in Christ. Okay, and a lot of people have really raked him over to coals, and he should not be ashamed of the trial that he's gone through. Paul wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, and of course this is a very unique letter about people going through the tribulation, doctrinally speaking. He said this, 1 Timothy 4 verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify God on this behalf. We have such a wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, who says in Hebrews chapter 2, and if you know, remember the doctrine of Hebrews, doctrinally dealing with people suffering in a tribulation. Here's what he says. Hebrews 2 verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ is not ashamed to be called the elder brother of a sanctified and suffering saint. That should give us comfort. Whatever the trial, and everybody's got different things, and often you will get caught off guard on whatever the trial is. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, again, he mentions this idea. But now they desire a better country. And of course, when you're going through your trial, you definitely pray more for the rapture. And you definitely want heaven to come. He said, but now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Yes, the church and believers and the world itself is going to lay some pretty rough charges on you. But no suffering saint should be ashamed of the shame of their trial. Okay, the fourth thought is this. A believer should be ashamed of himself or herself for a lack of study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In our witnessing, if somebody points out a weakness in our faith or in our presentation of what we're trying to show, yes, temporary shame is a good thing for us. Hopefully it will drive us back to Jesus Christ and His Word so that we can become better in our witness. Titus 2 verse 1 says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Verse 8 says, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that's of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. When you have your presentation of whatever the truth or topic it is, when you have it so sound and so precise, when you give that forth to a party and they say something like, well, everybody's got their own beliefs, you hit it right. If they point out a weakness in, okay, we can shore that up and become stronger. Yes, we might have some temporary shame, and we ought to be ashamed of ourselves if we've not been paying attention, if we've not been studying hard enough. Okay, that should drive us back to the Word of God. Drive us back to Jesus Christ, back to His Word, and see what it says. And then we could trust in Him greater. Psalms 25, he says this, unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. So yes, we can be ashamed of ourselves if we're not presenting it right, maybe not in the right spirit, maybe not the right words, but that should push us to the Word of God so that we study further. Never be ashamed of this book. Never be ashamed of Jesus Christ. That is part of our growth in grace. Now the last thing is, everybody will be ashamed when we hit the judgment. Everybody's going to. Except the proud. Amazingly, they will stand there or float there arrogantly and argue with Jesus Christ. Amazingly. The human spirit, the pride of that spirit, amazing. But we find this in Isaiah chapter 41. In our Bible, in Isaiah 40 to 48, is God Himself speaking to mankind as a general body of people. And God is calling man into an argument, into a debate, in fact, bringing them into judgment. And when we all stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, in front of God, if it's a white throne judgment, okay, or the judgment seat of Christ for the believer, we obviously have an advocate for the believer, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 41, verse 11, it says this. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Isaiah 42, verse 17, he says this. They shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed, that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, ye are our gods. They take a little wafer, put it in a monstrance, put it on a long pole, walk down a street, everybody calls him father, but he looks like mother, dressed like mother, and they say, my Lord or my God. I'd be ashamed of that. I'd be ashamed of that cracker is claiming to be, or they're claiming that cracker is Jesus Christ's body. Okay, but people are blinded to that. They don't see that. And if the Lord opens their eyes, they will be ashamed of that also. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 9. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They shall not see nor know that they may be ashamed. Yeah, they're going to be ashamed. Isaiah 45, verse 16. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them, that they shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. And one last verse, Isaiah 66, verse 5. He says this, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. In that context, that's fellow believers who are trying to cause you and I to be ashamed of Jesus Christ and his word. And then they say, let the Lord be glorified. They say, well, you put too much in the King James Bible. You should glorify Jesus Christ. Well, you don't. You don't glorify Jesus Christ. But yes, we're going to glorify Jesus Christ. And we're going to glorify his word. Both. That's what we're going to do. Okay, and they're going to be ashamed when they attack this book. If they're saved at the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus is going to say, what did you say about that book? What did I hear you correctly what you said? I should have said this, I should have said. You're telling me what I should have said? Can you explain it a little further? Yeah, they're going to shut up at that time. Okay, and so we should never, I mean, the glorious thing about the faith in Jesus Christ is we should never be ashamed of him. There is no cause to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. There is no cause of being ashamed of this book. There is a cause if we're ashamed of ourselves when we've not been in this book enough. And we'll recognize that when we stand before God face to face. Okay, in closing, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray that you help us to be people who are searching for the truth in all areas of life. And in that process, we can discover that there is no cause to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And there is no cause of be ashamed of the Word of God, the pure King James Bible, no shame. We can be ashamed of ourselves if we're not studying it the way we should. But Lord, when we're going through our trials and troubles, help us not to bear the shame that often comes with it. And help us recognize that our God, our beloved God, is not ashamed of his suffering and sanctified saint. We can give comfort out of that. And Lord, thank God at the judgment seat we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will defend us and stand up for us when we suffered for righteousness' sake. And I pray you'd help us get comfort out of that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're